I'm not going to lie. I didn't think you were going to make that one.
It's funny how fast 7 seconds turns into 2 seconds.
It really is.
It turns out it takes like 5 seconds. We started.
Yeah, that math checks out.
You have to talk.
Yep. I was thinking about it. I was like, yep, 7 seconds minus 5 seconds. Brad, I'm real tired. It's GDC week.
Yeah.
I went out to dinner last night.
Oh, no. Don't do that.
I ate outside.
Oh.
I had a cocktail outside.
Oh.
I went inside to pee.
What kind of cocktail?
I just had a beer.
You didn't? That's not a cocktail.
Well, okay. Everybody else had cocktails and I had a beer because I had to drive. Like, I don't drink very much anymore. And I was like, I got to drive at the end of dinner. So I'm going to have like a beer, and I got a Belgian white, and just, you know, and then the Belgian, they didn't have the, well, okay. I asked for a Kolsch. They didn't have the Kolsch. And they were like, well, we have an IPA. I was like, okay, I'll have an IPA. And then I drank it. I was like, oh man, this is more alcohol. I don't know if I should talk about this on the podcast, actually.
It's dude, what? One IPA, one beer, really?
I got, like, I didn't get dad drunk or anything, but it's dangerous when you don't drink at all and then you drink a little tiny bit.
I am so bored of IPAs.
I like IPAs a lot.
Been getting back into beer a little bit lately. There's nothing but IPAs anywhere. We don't need to talk about beer. So you did everything outside except pee, huh?
I thought about peeing outside because I was in San Francisco, so it's always an option.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I was like, did you go to the bathroom? Somebody went to the bathroom before me. I was like, was it inside? He's like, yeah, it's inside. Just follow the wall. I was like, okay. I was like, I mean, you could have just gone around the corner because, you know, it's an option here.
You find the right alleyway and you're pretty much set.
I think this might be one of the questions we're going to get. It's question and answer week. This might be one of the questions we get to, but I don't miss seeing the public bathroom displays walking around downtown San Francisco like I used to.
I'm sorry. Can you define public bathroom display?
I mean, walking down the street at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, seeing some guy taking a literal dump.
Okay. See, I was parsing that as public bathroom being a phrase, as in like a bathroom that is an intended bathroom to be used by the public in public.
No, sir. I meant this, a human being using the bathroom in public.
A bathroom display taking place in public.
Yes, I meant yes, that the latter rather than the former.
Yes, I got it. I have to say that I concur.
Yeah. Welcome to Brad and Will Made a Tech Pod. I'm Will.
I'm Brad, coming hot off the heels of perhaps the lowest effort cold open we've ever done. Also, it took me just a second to remember my name.
On a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is the least tired and 10 is the most tired, where are you now?
I'm sorry. I don't want to complain. I don't want to continue complaining about my jet lag, but holy shit, man.
Well, I mean, this is a thing. It's like anything else. It's a skill. And it's a thing you can like get bad at. Like last night, look, this is an embarrassing story. I went to dinner with some friends. Mm-hmm. And as we were walking out, I got up to go to the restroom after the meal was done. And like while I was waiting, because it's San Francisco, so it's like unisex bathrooms, gender neutral bathrooms. And like there was a pretty substantial line. So it took me a minute.
Okay.
And by the time I came back, the matter of the bill was completely settled. And I'm so out of practice with if I go and get food someplace, it's with Gina. So if like she pays the bill or I pay, it's the same money. It doesn't matter. Right. Yes. I just completely forgotten. I got like in the car on the way home. I was like, shit, who paid the bill? Did we just dine and dash?
No.
And so I had to send the text. And I was like, hey, like, do I owe somebody money? We went to dinner and like, I need to thank somebody, but I really need to like pay my part of the bill here. I feel bad. Cause it's like when I was at Starbucks a few months ago and I couldn't fucking figure out how to work the door when somebody was trying to go in and I was going out at the same time.
This is making me feel a little bit better.
Yeah. Like
only a little bit.
Like, I feel like some people's social norms have collapsed to the point that like, they don't get this, that like something goes slightly wrong for them. They start screaming at other people in the grocery store. And then there's like people like us that are generally pretty affable. And like, we just have forgotten how to participate in society in a much more innocuous way.
You ever worry about your own cognition?
Oh, all the time.
Okay. Good. It's not just me.
Well, okay. So there's two sides of this, though, because like I was worried about my, we had this conversation in like December.
Yes.
And then I went, my stomach hurt really bad one day and I went to the hospital for it. And they were like, oh yeah, you have a, your liver numbers are off, that it's probably impacting your cognition. And I was like, oh, well that explains a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So if you start turning yellow, I guess go to the doctor. Okay. Would be my takeaway if you feel like you have cognition issues.
That's a hot tip. I have some concern that the sleep medication I'm on is affecting my memory, is making me forgetful, which typically have prided myself on having a very sharp memory.
That's a side effect.
And here's how I put it to the test the other day. It occurred to me, it hit me out of the blue that I couldn't name the four Chrises.
Hold on. Who are the four Chrises?
Okay, I think I could do it now, but at the time it was one of those like, oh my God, what is wrong with me? I cannot remember the guy who plays Captain America. What is wrong with me?
Chris
And he was the one I couldn't remember. So Chris Pine.
Yeah, Chris Evans.
Chris Evans is the one that I really couldn't remember. Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Cross.
Yes, of course, Chris Cross.
They make you jump, I believe.
Eternal honorary member. Chris Hemsworth, right?
Chris Hemsworth is Thor,
Thor. And, Chris Pratt, of course.
The unfortunate Chris, is I like to think of him.
The universal actor.
Yeah.
Anyway, what are we talking about?
I don't know. I think it's time. It's the time of month when we turn Q's into A's.
Yeah. Do you ever quiz yourself? Do you ever just like stop and
look?
What am I talking
about? I have a 9-year-old dude. Some days that I like, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, well, okay, this is definitely a question that comes up, but the year when we were doing remote school, like my partner stays at home. Her job is to help with the kid and make the house run, which is an incredibly, like, we're very lucky that that works for us. And we've made some pretty substantial sacrifices to make it happen. But like the year of working from home and remote school, pretty good for me, all told, in terms of like my sleep and general level of like mental like tiredness. Because like we went from having to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning every day and then get out the door and like go off. And like I'm up late every night, to me getting up at like 8:45 and pumping some cereal in her before she had to hop onto Zoom. That was a good change for me. And now we're back to real school in person. And it's like 7 o'clock every morning rolls around and there and like I'm just hosed. It's awful.
The added stress of a virus still being endemic in society and nobody taking precautions anymore. Anyway.
Yeah. If you have questions,
we're here to answer them.
Yeah, you can send them to podcast@content.town, techpod@content.town. I'm so tired, dude.
I apologize to everybody listening to this podcast. We're not usually this insufferable.
Yeah. If this is your first time listening to this podcast, go download literally any other episode. Techpod@content.town.
There you go.
Or if you're in the Discord, if you're one of our patrons, then you can go in the Discord and you can just type random nonsense into the question seeking answers channel. And then we probably are going to answer it depending on, you know, look, there's a pretty high likelihood just because we picked some weird questions this month. I'm going to say
we will definitely read your question. I can say that
we read them all. Yes. That is true.
All right. Should we get started?
I there's nothing I would like to do more. While you read the first question, I'm going to read it and take my sweatshirt off because it's getting hot in here.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to fill time for Will as he disrobes live on this podcast. Question is from Beegs. He's not going to be able to hear me say this. I'm just going to wait. I didn't read the question yet.
What?
Okay. Let's do this.
It took so long.
Okay. From Beegs. You recently mentioned that control plus arrow keys jumps between words, but did you know that control plus backspace deletes whole words? Unfortunately, it doesn't work in about 50% of places.
Yeah, this is an unreliable keyboard shortcut.
I would add to that. Did you know that control shift arrow keys highlights entire words at a time?
Yeah.
And control anything
arrow keys moves them.
Oh, wow. I did not know. But yeah, there's an awful lot of text input places that don't respect the kind of control whole word modifier.
Yeah, like I feel like the control is a holdover. So I use the control stuff a lot. The control shift I use a ton. The control backspace and control delete I do not use all that much.
That's pretty destructive. I would be afraid of going a little too far with that one.
It works in Google. The alt and control doesn't, I think you have to have it selected. It doesn't work in Google Docs, unfortunately. Yeah. That's an ancient one. That's like WordStar or something. I can't remember.
Having just spent the last week and a half working on a MacBook, it does not work in macOS as far as I can tell.
Oh, you know, it does. It's in macOS. It is control. It's not command. It doesn't swap.
Wait, I tried control. I tried control.
Well, then it's command. It's one or the other.
I swear I tried both.
Maybe
it's option.
It could be option. My Mac keyboard shortcuts are always jacked up in my head because for a long time I switched the command and the control keys in using that the modifier in the control panel in the keyboard shortcuts. But then it was backwards when I was using a real Windows keyboard.
Oh, sorry, I don't do that on a Mac. I use an Apple keyboard on my PC and I swap because Alt and Window key are in the reversed positions if you use a Mac keyboard on Windows, unless you get sharp keys and remap everything.
Yeah.
Sharp keys is great, by the way.
You have very specific tastes.
Yes. I like things to work like I like them to work. Okay.
Nothing has ever been more well established than that.
All right.
I mean, that could be the subhead for the entire podcast.
That's right, man. I'm just out here trying to bring the truth to the people. Okay.
Brad likes what Brad likes.
Everybody should like what I like.
I don't know about that.
Would be much easier for me.
Well, okay. That's true.
All right. Are we ready for this? This is a big one.
This is a lot of mental, I don't know that my mind is ready for this. It's
the worst possible month to read this. All right,
the cognitive load of this question is exceedingly high.
It's a lot. Okay. Mountaineer Blue writes in, "Hey, Brad and Will, seeing as you're getting a lot of questions seeking answers, I thought I'd give you some answers seeking questions. Hopefully they match up to some." All right. Should I read the answers and you? Are we playing Jeopardy here?
No, I'll do the answers. You have to come up with the questions.
I can't. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
Let's collaborate here. NVIDIA 6600.
Yeah. The question there, I believe, is I have a old-ish PC. Which part should I upgrade out of the following components? It has an i5 6600. A 8 gigabytes of RAM, 128 gigabyte SSD, but with a 1 terabyte hard drive. So I have a lot of storage space but I can put one game on the SSD as long as it's not Call of Duty. But the video card is an NVIDIA 6600. And I think on that, looking at those specs right now, I'm going to say that a video card upgrade to let's say a $150, $200 video card is going to give you a pretty good performance bump.
Ooh, that is a GT. I thought in my head, I was like, 6600, isn't that one of the GT cards? And sure enough, that is a card from 2004.
Yeah, that's an old card. You should probably just upgrade that entire computer, actually, at this point.
Worse than the card I bought to play Oblivion on, to put things in perspective.
The 6800 series was the first one of their DX8 parts, I think, that was pretty good. It may have been a DX9 part.
DX9, I believe. Yeah. Because remember, the GeForce 3 was the big DX8. Yeah.
Yeah.
DirectX 9.0C. I bought a 7800 GT to play Oblivion.
Yeah, that was a period of time when the mid-range cards were pretty good.
Yeah. Single slot. Looking at this picture. Remember single slot GPUs?
Wow, those were the days.
Those were the days.
I have a GPU from that era that I still use that is entirely passively cooled I used to use in the home servers because it was passively cooled.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
All right. I'll take a stab at this one. Two spaces after punctuation is correct, as single space came about because publishers didn't want to buy normal and extra width types. So using two spaces is fighting the man.
No, veto this one. This one is bullshit. This is trying to get us to answer a question.
I have a question.
Oh, God.
Can I keep using one space after punctuation because it's less key presses?
Look, no. As soon as we stopped using physical type like 40, 50 years ago, single space is the right answer at that point. As soon as the type was digitally set, it doesn't matter. Like, yes, there's no one in this room that is more into fighting the man than me. But in this case, all you're doing when you put two spaces in, especially for anybody that has to do publishing, is making somebody do a command H to find and replace all of the double spaces and replace them with single spaces.
Also, you're going to have to replace your keyboard twice as fast. All right. 23 degrees Celsius.
What is a too warm temperature for your room?
I have a question.
Yes.
Is 73.4... What is, I'm sorry, what is 73.4 Fahrenheit equal to? There's your question.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, okay. Jupiter.
What's the one planet in the solar system that I wouldn't want to visit?
Wow. Really?
It's the magnetic field's really dangerous. Like, you realistically, Arthur Clarke aside.
What I mean is the only planet, because the other gas giants I don't think would be that much better.
I think the other gas giants, probably the magnetic fields aren't as bad.
Probably. But I don't know that they'd be fun.
Plus, I don't want to go to a failed star. I want to go to a successful planet, not a failed star.
Well, Jupiter's not a brown dwarf, is it?
No, it's not. But it's right on the edge. If it was a little bit bigger, if it was slightly massier, if it had a Saturn in it, we'd have two stars.
Hang on, I'm looking. Is Jupiter a brown dwarf?
No.
Wait a minute. Oh, okay. Yes, it looks like it is a bit too small for that.
Yeah. If we had one gas giant instead of four gas giants, we'd have a second star.
Oh, for maybe. Sure. Do you ever, sometimes I just sit around and really think about what is at the core of those things.
Shitload of diamonds.
Under all the gas, I would love to know.
It's literally a diamond the size of our planet.
Wait, like, is that actual? I mean, obviously it's not confirmed, but.
I mean, nobody's looked at it, right. But the models strongly suggest that it is either I want to say liquid hydrogen or a diamond the size of our planet. I think the rotation, the idea of a liquid, I can't remember. This might be science fiction and not science. I'm afraid to say this now, but my understanding was it's diamonds. And if it's not diamonds, it's liquid hydrogen.
Somebody write a science fiction story about future space capitalists who mine the core of Jupiter. And then the Earth is destroyed by all of the asteroids that are no longer deflected.
Have you watched Don't Look Up yet?
Gravitational pull. I'm sorry.
Did you watch Don't Look Up yet?
Yes.
I found it to be the singular most depressing piece of mass media I think I've ever watched.
It was really depressing. Like, I found it to be, a lot of it was fairly on the nose.
Yeah.
And I also felt like it could have been about 30, 45 minutes shorter.
I think
the last 10 to 15 minutes of that movie is like something I will never forget watching, though. Like,
yeah, that's fair.
I don't know if it's been out for what?
Four? 6 months, a year.
Oh, gosh. Surely it's not been a year.
Well, it's a 2021 Academy Award movie, so it can't be more than 15 months.
Anyway, okay. Skip 3 minutes ahead, I guess, if you don't want to hear about the end of Don't Look Up. I'm sure you've probably watched it by now, if you care. I mean, that movie is incredibly flippant, right? Like, it's social satire, but it's like really over the top. Like I said, on the nose, like they're really driving the point home.
Yeah.
But it makes such a tonal shift at the very end. Like,
oh, I don't think the tonal shift. I think it's the same tone the entire way through. The "we are hosed" is the tone.
It goes from absurd to very somber is what I mean. Like at the very end, like the last like 10 minutes of that movie, all of the ridiculous satire is out the window. And it's literally just watching people who know they're about to die live out their last like 10 minutes. Like, it's,
oh, I don't think there was any ridiculous satire in that movie. I think that movie was on the nose the entire way through.
No, I mean, look, it's not implausible. I'm just saying, like, they really hammer the nail in as hard as they can.
Well, like, usually in the disaster movies, you're either hoping for the humans to win or the disaster to win. Right.
It does not, like, it doesn't trade in subtlety is all I'm saying. Like, it's
oh, that's true.
I mean, that thing is swinging a sledgehammer instead of a scalpel, but
I don't know. But when
all I'm saying is, like, once it gets to that Last Supper scene where like they are all just sitting around and it's clear that it's sunk in that they have failed.
And that
life on Earth is about to end. That last like 60 seconds of that movie is straight up chilling, you know, as like the house starts rattling and the lights start going out and they're just like trying their best to eat their pie.
Be normal. Yeah.
Trying to eat their apple pie and drink their coffee as they know that like within seconds they are going to be torn to shreds. Like it's a lot.
We had it pretty good. There were two moments in that movie that made me really bummed, like more so than I would have expected. The worst one was when Jennifer Lawrence goes to meet her parents at the end and say goodbye. And like, they're like, we're for the jobs that the meteor is going to provide.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right.
This is 3 minutes is up. We should move on.
Okay, the last one. More movies should be about the second person to do something, proving it's not a fluke.
I think that's just a generally good idea. I'm pro that one.
That's not a question.
Yeah, okay. What's a controversial take that you think is super smart?
There you go. All right, moving on.
I don't know how I feel about this format. I think I wasn't mentally prepared for it.
It's tough.
Yeah,
with some practice, I think we could get there.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
That's our third podcast.
Question from Shags Magoo. I believe we have maybe done this before, but it is time for a check-in. In fact, as he says right here, desktop check.
Desk chop tech.
Desktop check. Desktop check. Why is that so hard to say?
Desk chop tech.
How many files, folders, shortcuts, or other assorted icons are currently on your desktop, and what steps are you taking to get that number to its optimal place, 0?
Okay, hold on.
I mean, I'm sure you know there's a very easy way to do this. Just open File Explorer.
Yeah, but if I don't ever look, then I don't know, and therefore, I would argue that the optimal number is not 0, because the optimal number is whatever is most convenient for me, the user.
I will never have fewer than 2, because I will never be able to remove my computer, or I guess they just call it computer now, and the recycle bin.
Yeah.
Purely out of habit. It's not like you can't get to those things elsewhere. It's just a GUI should have those 2 icons, okay?
So I turned off the status bar.
Status bar.
The thing at the bottom of the File Explorer window that tells you how many items and how big they are.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that thing's useful.
I heard it's for chumps. So, no chumps here.
Did we talk about File Explorer getting tabs? In Windows 11? We did.
Yeah. Well, no, we didn't. We said it would be a good idea, and then they did it.
Yes.
So apparently, you're welcome.
Apparently, rolling out into insider builds of Windows 11 is a new File Explorer that has tabs in it. So I might have to think about upgrading at some point.
Do you sort by date on the desktop?
I don't sort by anything. I sort name. By. I tend to just like cluster things of like type together a little bit.
Oh, wait. Like, you actually have the icons on your desktop?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's terrifying. You stream, though.
I could. I don't ever capture the monitor or the desktop. Specific windows. What do I have to hide?
Because I do the 2PC thing, I always have my desktop feed is on. So I've had icons hidden for 5 years.
Yes, you were just spitting video out of your PC onto the internet like a lunatic. But again, what do I have to hide? I deleted lubes.txt a long time ago.
I have contracts on my desktop.
Oh,
I have
statistics. A little more fastidious than that about putting like business documents away.
I have the file that has apparently the secret keys to my Nest integration for my home assistant on there.
Interesting.
I have next week's weekly challenge for the Anna Cruces.
Okay.
I have old last week's FossPod. I don't know, man. I got a lot of shortcuts apparently because Steam still is putting shortcuts on my desktop like it's 1998.
Oh, don't.
Why do they do that, man?
Don't do that.
Well, I don't click the box. You know what happened? I actually should tell you exactly what happened. I clicked the thing that said "Don't ever show me this again," but I probably had to put a desktop shortcut on.
Well, that's on you.
Look, I can solve this problem really easily. Sort by type, delete all.
There you go. I can tell you that I have 148 icons on my desktop currently.
Ooh.
I can tell you I've got, like I said, I kind of clump things together.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Madness.
I've got a clump of GPU benchmarking utilities and folders and some tech demos. I've got a clump of soundtracks, game soundtracks from Steam that I've grabbed that I need to add to my music library. I've got a massive... instead of bookmarking things in browsers, I drag from the address bar to a shortcut on the desktop for things I mean to read later and then never do. So I have about, let's say, what is the extension on those things? Do they have one? Is that .url? Yes, I have something like 20 .url.
That's madness.
Icons here.
Can you just use bookmarks?
I should probably do that. But again, these are not things these are temporary. These are ephemeral. I'm going to read them and forget about them. Except I don't. Anyway, desktops, they're a mess.
I've turned on the status bar. I have 54 items on my desktop, including 5 shortcuts. There's two different kinds of shortcuts now. Did you know that if you sort by type, you get the ones that Steam makes a different kind of shortcut than the normal Windows application shortcut?
Weird.
I know. I have a really good thumbnail of somebody's oxygen not included world that's self-sustaining.
Okay.
Which I thought was impossible.
Okay.
But it's huge. It's really cool. I have a Fraps folder for doing, I think that was for doing a DLSS video for NVIDIA for the Anacrusis. I have my Mr. Any.
Oh, I also have some Mr. stuff here. Yeah. I have a row of folders on my desktop between the computer and recycle bin on the far right.
I have a bunch of videos.
For whatever reason, my naming scheme for folders on the desktop that I put a lot of common things in.
Yeah.
Is as truncated as it could possibly be.
Oh, no.
So, for example, the folder that I put all of my Audacity projects in as we record podcasts day after day is called Aud, A-U-D.
That's an odd name for a folder.
I don't know why they need to be as short as possible. To answer Shaq's question, what are we doing to remedy the mess on our desktop? I created a folder to put things that I want to keep that I don't have anywhere else to put in. It is called Earned, R-N-D, for random.
Oh, I usually have an archive folder on my desktop, but I stopped doing that a while ago because then I looked in the archive folder and there was another archive folder in there. And then there was another one under that. And I was like, this is a disaster. I haven't looked in here in 2 years, so I just deleted it.
Yes, I have a folder called HRM, H-R-M, that has nothing in it.
What's HRM for?
HRM.
But what's it short for?
HRM, like hmm.
Oh. I don't know how to process that one.
Okay. Desktops. Desktops are filthy.
What? Let me ask you a question, Brad.
Okay.
If I said, hey, I'll give you $1,000 if you delete everything in your downloads folder right now, could you do that? Or would that be bad for you?
Delete as in permanently
gone forever.
Can't just sort it somewhere else.
No.
Like it all has to absolutely go away.
Control A, shift delete. That shift delete is the permanent delete, right?
I'm just scrubbing through here real fast. I think I would probably take that deal, actually.
What if I told you you couldn't look at it first?
Oh, that...
$1,000.
I might still take the deal. I don't know. There's some like tax documents and stuff in there. That's not great.
Probably fine. You probably download it again, though. $1,000 pays a lot of accountants, it turns out.
It's true.
Yeah.
It is true. All right. We should move on.
Yeah. Next question.
There's a question from Cake Batter here. I'm like 90% sure he asked it as a joke.
Okay.
No, he may not have. He may be serious about this. I was going to read it as a joke because we absolutely are not qualified to answer it.
Nope.
But she points out, I think he's in on the joke. This being a tech pod, not a math pod, can you explain how stream ciphers such as Salsa 20 and the related Cha-Cha 20 Poly 1305 differ from regular block ciphers such as AES, 128, 256, etc.
Nope.
Math, cryptographically, mathematically, I'm sorry that I cannot.
I did read the. Did you read the thing the other day about the attack, the low power brute force attack on bad key generated, like keys that were generated badly because they used two primes that were too close to each other. So you were able to use like a Fermi's sieve or something to generate the keys.
No,
it was really an interesting article. I'll have to dig it up and post in the show notes.
I can tell you, I typed stream cipher into Google and the first suggestion that came up was stream cipher versus block cipher.
Yeah.
A block cipher breaks down plain text messages into fixed size blocks before converting them into ciphertext using a key.
Okay.
Encrypting information bit by bit. A stream cipher, on the other hand, breaks a plain text message down into single bits, which are then converted individually into ciphertext using key bits. I wonder if it's a speed thing.
Oh.
The only reason I have any familiarity with this at all is that I know that I believe Cha-Cha 20 is one of the ciphers that WireGuard uses, if I'm not mistaken. And WireGuard,
that makes sense.
I know. I'm really speaking out of turn here. I think part of the selection process for the encryption in WireGuard was speed.
Yeah, because it's supposed to be low overhead.
Yes, it is. And so I wonder if maybe stream ciphers are more performant?
No, I would think it would be the other way because the blocks are simpler math. Hold on, I'm looking. I'm opening up
actually supposed to answer this question. This was a joke. I mean, maybe not, but... Stop researching. We have to move on.
Okay. 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 Blocks versus bits. That's the answer, though.
Yes.
There you go. A block is a collection of bits.
Mm-hmm. I hope I'm pronouncing this right. Lee Hadassin, I think, is how you say this username. This has come up on not just your podcast, but many other American podcasts, saying bi-weekly when you mean every 2 weeks. Do Americans not commonly use the word fortnight?
I mean, we do, but not in that context.
Well, I mean, that's a very different conversation after the last 3 to 4 years than it was before.
I don't know about you, but I'm not any good at cranking 90s. So
no, definitely not.
Yeah. We do not use the term fortnight generally.
No, fortnight is not at all a common term in American English. Fortnight was always up there with stone for me in terms of weird Angloisms.
Yeah. What's you know what
I have no idea.
A stone's a measure of weight, I think,
it is,
right?
It is, yes. You'll see people refer to their weight in stone sometimes.
Which stone, though?
14 pounds, it looks like.
Oh, that's
stone
a lot.
Is 14 pounds. So you'll see somebody say they weigh 12 stone.
That's a unit. That's a the base number there is too hard for me to do the math in my head on.
Last I weighed myself a fortnight ago, I weighed 14 stone. Okay. I guess that answers the question. Question from Grant. This is a question for Brad. Do you get in the shower without feeling the temperature of the water first? I get in the shower before I even turn the water on.
Wait, what?
First, why was this a question for me?
Yeah, but this is oddly specific.
Why? Why only me?
Fun. Okay. Do you not warm up the water before you get in?
No, that's wasteful.
So you just get in and freeze your ass off until the water gets warm?
Well, no, but we have an adjustable shower head, so I don't spray it directly on myself, but I sort of start to, I mean, as it warms up, I.
But like, are you standing in the cold water while it is warming?
No, no.
Then you're wasting it either way. So why get in and suffer?
I'm saving some time. Look, I mean, when you turn it on and let it get hot, you're prone to just kind of do other stuff and like waste time while it's already hot.
I brush my teeth.
That's so much water. We are in a perpetual drought around here. Come on,
it,
man.
It turns on, but if you're not using the water to clean yourself, it's the exact same amount of waste.
I'm telling you psychologically, you are going to waste more time when you're out of the shower doing other stuff.
It takes me 2 minutes to brush my teeth, which is about the time it takes the shower to warm up.
Oh, wait, what?
Do you not brush your teeth for 2 minutes? No.
I'm talking about the time it takes to heat the water up. I think we talked about this in the last Q&A. Like, I mean, maybe it's because we have the gigantic ass industrial hot water heater in this building.
Oh, yeah. My problem is that the distance, you got to clear the pipes from garage to my bathroom.
It takes maybe 15 seconds for the water to get hot here.
Well, that's probably because you're closest to the boiler.
Right, yes, we are right over the garage. So, yes, yeah. I guess that's an important detail to omit.
Yeah, for me, it's a good like 90 seconds at least before I feel like it is ice cold straight from the well.
No.
Cold.
No. The hot water is rapid in this building, at least for us. Have you ever taken intentionally cold showers?
My hot water heater broke and it took him 2 weeks to get a replacement in for me once.
And
I don't know if that counts.
Talking more voluntary. There are supposed to be some health benefits.
I feel like that's Puritan bullshit promoted by masochists. You're not supposed to take too hot showers because it dries out your skin, which is bad. When I used to do more exercising and would get really, really hot and sweaty, I would come in and take a cold shower and then immediately make it warm as soon as the water was warmed up. So,
I don't know how much actual research there is into the benefits of cold showers. I haven't done it much. It'll definitely wake you up. I'll say that.
Yeah. I should take a cold shower right now. I'll be right back.
All right. Well, I'm going to answer the rest of these questions by myself then. Here's one from Hen Dubs. On a recent FOSS pod, you talked about how upstream internet access is often more limited than downstream when it comes to commercial internet packages. I think commercial usually is how you get around that, actually, right? Like business internet, like residential, absolutely, that's true. I think getting better upstream in a lot of locations requires upgrading to some kind of business package.
So in the old days with DSL, it was here's how much math we can pack across this pair of copper wires.
Right.
And so they could choose to either do the same amount up and down, the same speed up and down, and you had a reduced amount, or you could do more down and less up, which was mirrored the usage of most home users.
Right. Sorry, I should have finished reading this question before we got into it. So yes, we have talked about how upstream is frequently more limited than downstream. Besides money, in sneer quotes, Are there any other reasons why ISPs do this? If my pipes can handle gigabit speeds on the way down, why can't they send the same back up?
So in the old days, it was because of technical limitations, right? You had a limited amount of theoretical bandwidth for the medium that you were using, typically DSL in this case, but cable as well. And the provider would allocate based on your requirements. So like I had an SDSL line for a long time because I wanted a little bit more upstream than the 256K or whatever you would get in like 2001 on a DSL line. In the modern era, it's a little bit more of a marketing consideration. Although this did change during the pandemic. Like this is a thing, your cable providers, which are like most fiber providers, as I understand it, are pretty symmetrical. Like I'm 980 on yeah. speed test.
I have heard some examples of even gigabit fiber plans that have fairly limited upstream, which is criminal, but
yeah,
at least Sonic is very cool about it. I know AT&T customers get symmetrical.
Yeah, we're symmetrical on AT&T. Google is typically symmetrical. The cable providers, part of the thing with cable is that the pool is shared upstream and downstream. So they do limiting upstream prevents, so let's say if you are on a cable node with somebody who is a BitTorrent user and they're pirating a boatload of movies and they're upstream uploading at a high rate, then that doesn't come out of just your upstream pool. It comes out of everybody's upstream pool. So like you'll slow down everybody on the node, which is not great. Prior to the pandemic starting and everybody working from home and having four or five people on Zoom and from on one connection upstream, choking out everybody's upstream connections in like March of 2020, the cable providers were pretty vociferous that they felt there was no need for upstream on home users. And that's why you saw like a lot of 10 megabit upstream plans. Even like with good, it was not uncommon in the US to see a 250 megabit down, 10 megabit up as the expensive package in a region. You're shaking your head. They realized that was an issue with the start of the pandemic, and it started to change a little bit. Like 25, you'll see 25 or 50 megabit up now on a pretty normal package. I don't know. It seems like it's mostly, hey, we can charge more for upstream because only businesses and content creators want upstream.
That has been my cynical presumption. Yes. I was looking around. If you remember, I think it was last year. It might have been 2020. I mean, these years have blended together a little bit, but sometime since the pandemic started, Congress was actually trying to redefine the term broadband at the federal level.
That was an Obama era thing.
Are you sure? Well,
it started then.
Well, it came back up then after the pandemic started. They were trying to get broadband classified as minimum 100.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What was it? I can't remember exactly.
It was 125, if I recall. But I don't.
100 down, 25 up, you mean?
That's what I think, yeah.
That's something. I think it was something like that, which like 25 is not terrible. I mean, it's not amazing, but it's certainly workable for most people.
I mean, look, if you're not uploading videos, like when we started working on Tested, we're uploading videos from home. Just because our work internet, the upstream was so slow on, then I suddenly cared a lot more about upstream. If you're just doing Zooms and like playing Among Us and your kids are playing video games, you're probably fine with 25 megabit upstream. Totally.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you're trying to upload multi-gigabit files though.
Sucks.
Not great.
Yeah.
But that's pretty specialized.
Imagine you're trying to upload three different builds of a video game to one of your valued partners.
Oh, man. Well, that's when you got to start remoting into stuff. But we'll talk about that in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Just a Box asks, did you ever have a username that you regretted? Have you changed usernames over the years?
My Quake One clan was called Demolition Crew with a K.
Of course, with a K.
With a K. We were in the HPB leagues.
Uh-huh.
The night that I joined I passed the tryout, because it was you had to try out for the clan. The night that I passed the tryout, they were like, well, what's your name gonna be? And I'd been Gonzo, I think, everywhere up until that point. They're like, there's already a Gonzo in the league, we gotta have something else. And the episode of Seinfeld where they saw the proctologist whose license plate said Ass Man was on.
So my handle for the entirety of my Quake 1 HPB League career was DK-Assman. Wasn't great, Brad. Wasn't great.
I'm afraid that's not eligible as an episode title.
Thank God.
I just can't do it.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Boy, that's some good work. I never understood the term HPB.
High ping bastard.
Oh, I know. I know what it means. I'm saying low ping bastard makes sense. You're a bastard because you're lucky enough to have a low ping. But like, why are you a bastard for having a high ping?
Like, I think it was just literally the league was if your ping had to be over 250 or you couldn't play in that league.
Oh, I get it. The real answer is nobody thought about it very hard.
Yeah. It's like ATM machines.
It doesn't quite stand up to scrutiny. Okay.
Would you have a nickname you didn't like there? Not
really. My usernames have been pretty consistent for the last 20 plus years.
That's true.
After I went through my like dumb ones on BBSs that didn't stick.
This would have been in like early Quake World days, probably even before GL Quake World landed.
God, my nick that I was using on IRC in like 96, 97 is still in use today in some places, as a matter of fact.
Wow. That's shocking.
Yes. Okay. The Master DS writes in. The Crunchyroll Funimation merger, which has reached the point where most Funimation shows have been put onto Crunchyroll and a message tells users to go watch there when they do watch them on Funimation, has me thinking, if you could consolidate any streaming service into any other, which ones would you pick?
Man, wow.
That's a...
What do you think your criteria is for this?
Yeah,
do
that's kind of a high concept question. I'm trying to think. Like, I would say, I mean, content, obviously, programming. Availability, you know, good stuff to watch. I would say the one that should absorb the other one should be the one that has the best and the most widespread apps across different platforms.
I think the app problem is pretty solved, though.
Some of them are still pretty rotten. I don't know if you've used some of the also ran streaming services out there.
I mean, I don't know about also rans, but like I flip on like Criterion every once in a while, or I actually signed up for AMC Plus a couple of weeks ago when I turned something else off. Well, because I wanted to watch Halton. I wanted to see what the Halton Catch Fire Sitch was like over there.
Okay. Oh, sure. Yes. Yes. That is research.
I'm trying to think. Like, I don't know. Like, we have like a couple of things that like Disney Plus and Netflix and Hulu, because that's where we get TV, are pretty much always on. Mm-hmm. And I think I get HBO through my ISP or my cell phone plan. I can't remember. But like, it's just bundled in with something else that I can't not pay for, so it's free. So like, and then the other stuff we turn on and off, like Paramount Plus turns on and off as we're watching stuff. This is a weird way to get TV, it turns out.
It is. There was a conversation on our Discord this very day, and I'm trying to source it, okay, this came from Microsoft, I guess. Let me just confirm that's what I'm actually... Yes, this was a Microsoft talk at GDC about Game Pass.
Oh, okay.
So I guess this is probably pretty solid market research. These numbers are crazy. The average U.S. household has 9 subscription services and 25 connected devices.
That seems right.
9 subscription services? Consumers spend an average of $273 a month on subscription services.
Jesus Christ, that's insane. Does that count like cell phone services or is it just content?
It doesn't break it out. In fact, there's no granularity really at all there that I can see. You know, because they are Microsoft, they're including stuff like Game Pass in there. That's not just video streaming services. That could be a whole bunch of stuff, but that's still a lot of video streaming services.
25 devices, though. Holy cow.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably like every phone in the house and, you know, a Roku in every room and whatever.
Yeah, game maybe.
Consoles. Is that $273 a month was the thing that really knocked me out of my seat.
So I assume that means like your ISP plus.
Yeah, I mean, if that's counting your internet bill in there, then I feel like that's a pretty fuzzy definition.
I'm probably in the ballpark. I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's weird. Game Pass would firmly be the kind of thing that I turn on and off as I'm using it if I didn't like have a business reason to have Game Pass.
Right. Same. God, I don't have a great answer for this question. I consistently only subscribe to Netflix and I barely use that. So I just don't watch a ton of TV.
I watched Stargate, the movie, the other day.
Oh,
on Netflix.
Oh, man. The James Spader classic. Young James Spader.
I don't know that I have seen that since it was new.
How's it hold up?
It's a little, there's some uncomfortable stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, It goes for a lot of stuff from the 90s.
Yeah, it's like a pretty typical 90s level of discomfort. There's a little bit of white saviorism there that's kind of like a little bit weird now.
Okay.
It's like space white saviorism, but like, I don't know. I enjoyed it. I would not watch it again probably, but I did not regret watching it.
That's fair. Attempted to watch. I have no idea why I did this. I attempted to watch the late 90s remake of Lost in Space recently.
Oh, that's a terrible movie.
Oh, it's bad.
It's got bad CG.
RIP William Hurt, to be fair.
I hope this wasn't a... He's also... William Hurt did not seem like a very nice person.
No?
For the record.
I don't know. I don't know anything about him.
A fantastic performer. Like, Broadcast News is one of my all-time favorite movies. But yeah, not a nice man, it seems like.
Okay. I was not aware of that. But you are not wrong, though. The CG is abysmal in that movie. I mean...
It's like Babylon 5 levels of bad.
Yes. Not only is it terrible, but they were just way overdoing it. Like, they did not know when to say no. Like,
well, that
there
it,
are
it has entire, a digital character.
Yes. Well, so yeah, like 30 seconds of the movie, there are entire protracted digital like space fight scenes with CG that could not be any better than Babylon 5, maybe worse.
It looks like it, they awful. Just modded Wing awful. Commander for the price of freedom.
Yes.
And then captured some footage out of there.
Like, I can't even imagine what it was like seeing that on a giant movie screen. CG that bad. And yes, they straight up have a pre-Jar Jar Binks digital character, like a full-on like little alien pet kind of thing. I mean, it doesn't talk, thankfully. There's no dialogue from it. It's
just cute.
Cartoony animal kind of character.
It's like the Ally McBeal dancing baby.
Like watching, let's see, I'm having this problem again where I can't remember actors' names. Matt LeBlanc.
Joey from Friends.
Yes, Joey from Friends. Who else is in that movie?
Heather Graham, straight off of Boogie Nights, yes. Rolled into that.
That's right,
Mimi Rogers.
Mimi Rogers
is the mom. I can't remember who the kid Chabert is.
From Party of Five.
That's right.
I looked up the kid, the young genius. I mean, Will Rogers, right?
Yeah.
All right, Robinson. Will Robinson. I'm sorry. He was a child actor that kind of became nobody.
Was he Malcolm from Malcolm in the Middle or something? No.
It seems like he went on to have not much of an adult career anyway. That movie, I didn't make it more than an hour into the movie. I don't know what I was thinking.
That was the first DVD I got. That came with my Sound Blaster DVD ROM drive.
I think that's why I pulled it up on someone's Plex.
Yeah.
I won't name any names.
Yeah.
Someone we know had it on their Plex.
Weird. What a weird coincidence.
You're totally right, though. You just reminded me that I also got the first DVD player my family ever bought. Came with, you know, you'd kind of get
your seven discs.
Yeah, you get your free DVDs, and that was the only one I remember for whatever reason.
I got that in Twister, the two I remember. Maybe Hunt for Red October, but
yeah, maybe that's why I was weirdly nostalgic for it.
The answer to this question for me is I would put Hulu's content on literally any other service because that app is incomprehensible to me.
Huh.
And I don't like the way that they do the live TV stuff and the app stuff and how it's integrated, I'm sure makes sense to somebody, but I fundamentally cannot grasp it. And it frustrates me mightily.
Huh? I passed up there. Hulu had like an amazingly cheap deal, I think, on Black Friday. And I almost jumped on it until I like pulled up a, hey, what is on Hulu kind of article, and couldn't really find anything I cared about.
We use it to do live TV. Like, that's all we have for. And we were literally talking about getting rid of it because we only use it when like the Olympics are on and stuff like that.
We are on a family plan for YouTube TV that has served us well for a very low price.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And Netflix. And we have Amazon Prime because we have it for the shipping, but I kind of never watch anything on there. Their video quality is not great.
That's a weird service.
Yes.
I watched The Boys on that.
Yes. And The Boys Invincible. Is the one.
Both are good.
Yes. Boys season 3 is ramping up. They're starting to promote it pretty heavily.
I'll always take more Carl Urban in my life.
That's like The Boys is one of the most uncomfortable TV shows I've ever seen.
You should watch Invincible. It really,
I don't know.
Yeah. You'd like it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's do a few more questions here. EMP Quad Force. Question is amazing. Will you ever close survey.content.town?
Never.
Never.
going to be Space Jam and survey.content.town are going to be the last two websites on the internet.
We will solicit feedback. One day it'll be cockroaches and survey.content.town remaining on planet Earth.
Yeah.
Those will be
Look, if I make enough money, my goal is to launch a solar powered satellite into outer space that connects to the internet and broadcasts and serves as the DNS and host for survey.content.town.
And we will train a neural net to endlessly provide feedback to survey.content.town.
I guess I should probably update the a lot of people have responded to this since the last time we talked about it.
Huh.
Weird. Okay.
Good to know. Is it just the same person providing increasingly unhinged answers?
Yeah, it's just Warbird over and over again, man. Talking about college football, I think.
God damn it. Okay, moving on. Andreas 3000, if you were exiled from California, where would you most want to live?
And this is a really good question. We ask this one a lot.
Like my knee jerk answer is somewhere cheap with good internet. Like that seems probably a little obvious.
Yeah. I mean, I have a kid, so we have school issues. Yeah,
you've got school stuff. I mean, like realistically it's like close to family is an answer. Well,
I'm kidding. Considerations. I mean, we've literally been going through this though. Like, cause we're ready to pull the ripcord. It seems like the right time to leave California right now. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't want to live someplace where my daughter is going to grow up in some fascist nightmare. So that's like 40% of the country by population and 70 by volume gone. And then you're left with like, I don't know, Michigan and Illinois. And I don't want to live someplace too. So the South is all out, basically. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to live someplace that's going to flood or burn. So like Colorado, the Northwest, all that stuff gone. I don't know. Maybe Vermont is the answer, I guess.
Okay.
Vermont seems nice. Never been there before.
Every time I think about leaving San Francisco, it hits me how much I would miss the food.
I think I'd be okay. It turns out.
On the other hand, we never, ever eat out anymore. So
that's the thing is like, I've eaten out twice in the last 3 years. I'm fine.
Yeah.
I ordered takeout kind of a lot, but most of the takeout we get is pretty replicable in the rest of the country.
That's fair. All right. Yeah. Let's do a few more here. Gage 006. Man, this is a tough one. If you got out of the Matrix, would you pull your spouse or partner out?
I refuse to answer this question.
Why?
There's no good answer.
Man, I guess you're right.
Like if you pull them out, you're an asshole. Cause like all of a sudden their life is horrible. They can gruel. Sure. They're free, but at what cost? Uh-huh. And if you don't, you're a monster.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I would rather be an asshole than a monster when it came down to it.
I mean, you think that, but I think my wife would be pretty pissed as soon as she tried the food.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm underestimating her though. This is a tough, and also realistically, I'm old enough that I would probably go crazy when you pull me out. My brain is not plastic enough to deal with that level of change.
Would you pull the cipher?
Would I make the deal to go back in to
demand that you be put back in and also be made someone famous and important?
I think I'd rather be wealthy and anonymous if I was choosing.
Well, he didn't seem like a guy with the best judgment, personally.
Fair. Real solid Joey Pants performance, though.
Yeah. Yes. The one, you know, he gave the one that he gives.
Well, yeah, he's kind of like I feel like he should be Nick Cage's little brother in something at some point.
Huh? Yeah, sure. Let's see it.
Maybe older brother. I don't know.
All right. Another question for Cake Batter. Really just bringing it with the questions. This
carrying
month.
The whole channel this month.
This was while I was on the East Coast. Has Brad taken the valuable family time away from the Bay to install a geographically distinct offsite backup /NAS with VPN access to his network? I would be lying if I didn't say about halfway through that trip, that very thought didn't occur to me. It absolutely did, to the point that I was like looking around thinking like, where would I put a Raspberry Pi in a little backplane of 4 hard drives? Like, what is their downstream here? It's pretty good.
What are the caps like is the real question.
How hard would it be to switch them over to something that I could easily run a VPN on?
You'd have to buy him a router, right? Probably.
If I wanted to run a VPN remotely that I would tunnel into, yes. But now I'm sitting here trying to work it out in my head.
Just Wirecast into that machine, right?
WireGuard. Well, no, WireGuard. Because I'm trying to think. Like what I'm trying to think is, I already run a VPN here.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, is there a way I could have that Raspberry Pi tunnel in here? No, that would not.
Yeah, you could do that.
How would I trigger that though?
You just have to set it in the boot. It have to happen at launch.
You mean leave it permanently tunneled in
here?
I wonder what kind of performance considerations that has.
It's probably gonna be fine, but it won't use any bandwidth until you dump a rsync to it or whatever.
I guess you're right. I mean, there's probably no overhead on the router.
Hardly any.
If it's not crunching encryption, then it kind of doesn't do anything, does it?
Yeah, and if you're using something that's light on encryption, it's not like it's going to hit the CPU on the router or anything hard.
I might have to think about this.
I mean, the question is, do you want to have an unencrypted backup of all your stuff someplace that you don't control physically?
Oh, it could be encrypted.
I guess you could encrypt it. But on the Raspberry Pi, I don't know if you can, actually.
Well, it definitely could. I mean, I would do a ZFS volume, and you can encrypt that.
On a Raspberry Pi?
Yeah, absolutely. I do it in my house.
Okay.
I have a Pi 4 with two hard drives plugged into it that are a striped ZFS volume that I replicate my NAS to every night.
Wow.
It's pretty awesome.
I never even considered that.
I have to say, I just send snapshots. I replicate snapshots of my ZFS pool over my network to that Raspberry Pi across the house.
Well, so you can find out what kind of overhead it's going to be by just tracking that traffic on that machine.
I think I get about 400 megabit throughput with the VPN that I'm currently running on this router. WireGuard might be more performant.
Well, yeah, no, I'm just saying like what the impact is going to be on your parents. Like, you don't want to blow out your parents' plan.
Well, I do it overnight when they're asleep.
Like, no, but I'm just saying if they have like a 1 terabyte cap and you're dumping all the stuff that you put on your NAS every month with all your work videos, you can fill out their bandwidth cap in no time.
I don't actually keep that much of that stuff permanently.
Okay.
Like, I'm actually most days I'm replicating like basically nothing, or like at most like a few hundred megabytes. Something to consider.
What do you call San Francisco when you're abbreviating it in conversation?
Let's see.
Like SF?
SF, I think.
San Francisco, the city. We do the city occasionally.
I only say the city to other people who live around here.
Well, the city for us is like, it's like a, hey, I'm going to go to the city today. Do you need anything?
That's what I mean.
That's not a proper noun in this case. It's just the nearest big city to where I live.
Right. Like, I wouldn't refer to San Francisco as the city to my relatives or whatever.
Yeah, no, that's the marketing for the Warriors talking.
Yes. SF is probably what I would say.
The hipsters are trying to make Frisco a thing.
Wait, as long as I've lived here, people like locals, natives are like, do not say Frisco.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, whatever you call it, don't make it Frisco.
I feel like this is a Matt Honan thing. He's been trying to make Frisco happen for like a decade now. It's finally starting to stick.
We should probably, let's see, take a couple, three more and then wrap this up, because I'll have you know my script. The script that turns Windows from light mode to dark mode just triggered.
Oh, it's 8 o'clock. Yeah,
which,
shit.
I have a cron.
I'm supposed to do a stream here in a minute
at 8 p.m. How much time do we have?
I mean, probably 30 minutes, but I got to eat too at some point.
Oh, crap. Well, oh man, we got like four more good questions.
Well, let's go. Let's do
okay,
it.
Okay, let's try to get
lightning round.
Here is a perfectly relevant question from Shags Magoo again.
Yeah.
What is your preferred dark mode color? Do you like a sort of grayish like Discord? The dark teal color that is Twitter dim mode, which is my pick. His pick, not mine.
Okay.
Well, actually also mine. Or a straight black background. Or are you a godless Philistine who keeps light mode on?
Never light mode. I'm always dark mode.
Like, even for Windows, like full time all day?
My monitor is dark as the sun.
Interesting. Okay.
Wait, well, that's not right. But
like I just alluded to, I have a little script that sets me to light mode at like 8:00 in the morning, 8:30, and then back.
I am annoyed that I can't dark mode Google Docs easily.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some scripts for it, but it's not worth the hassle and it makes it slow.
Yeah. To answer his actual question, I like that dark teal that Twitter has.
Mine depends on the screen that I'm using.
Yeah, that's fair.
So like on the PC where it's backlit LCDs, I do like a dark gray.
Okay. Yeah.
On my phone, which has an OLED screen, which means that like the more black pixels I have, the less power I use. Mm-hmm. Black is night.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. That goes without saying. I don't mind Discord's kind of default.
Discord's
the dark gray.
Yeah. Discord's dark gray is like three shades lighter than my menu bar in Windows. So it's fine.
Yeah, like dark gray and dark teal, I think, are my favorites. Here's a question. I just found out a couple nights ago that the very newest models of Kindle have a dark mode.
The black, the e-ink ones?
Yeah, the newest, the 10th gen Paperwhite and like whatever the newest Oasis is have dark modes now.
How does that work? So they only...
Straight up black e-ink screen with white, with light text on it.
And that's the first thing I've heard in a decade that makes me want to upgrade to one of those.
I know. So that was my question. Like, I instantly wanted to... I have a 7th gen Paperwhite, which works just fine, except that it doesn't have dark mode.
I have a Voyager, which is like the pre-Oasis fancy one.
Well, I think they discontinued those, right?
They discontinued it, yeah, a few years ago.
I don't know. Should I get rid of a perfectly functional Kindle just to get a new one that has dark mode?
I literally, it's funny because I literally use my phone to read instead of the Kindle often because I like the dark black background on the screen.
Like even at the lowest legible setting, the backlight on a Kindle is like unusable in a dark room to me. Like it's so bright.
Oh, see, mine is the opposite problem. The granularity is such that I can go from too dark to not to too bright, and there's not enough set space in the settings for me to get it where I want it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like it's like I just can't find. It's just that light colored screen at night when you're trying to fall asleep and you just want to read something before bed.
It's pretty bright.
It's so ugh.
You consider just turning on a lamp.
Yeah, but then like.
Yeah, no, I know.
I want the lights off to help me. Look, I have a very light sleeper. Okay.
Okay.
And I'm sitting here looking at a photo of this dark mode Kindle and.
This is going to eat you. You know what? I'm going to make a prediction. It is March 23rd as we're recording this. I bet by April, May, June, July, August. I bet by September. I bet on Black Friday sales. Maybe let's say September. I bet by September you have one of these.
Ooh, wow. This might actually be worth the upgrade. The 11th gen Kindle Paperwhite looks significantly. You have Voyager, you said.
Yeah, the Voyager. It's like a fifth. I'll tell you when I bought it in a sec.
Would you be willing to trade down to a Paperwhite or would you only trade up to an Oasis?
I think I'm just going to keep using my phone, to be honest.
No, that works too. Anyway, the thing I was going to say is like, the current model of Paperwhite is like dramatically better looking than the one I have. Screen is way bigger and the whole front of the device is flush. Like there's no inset for the screen.
Oh yeah, the flush screen on the that's why I got the Voyage. It's I bought it in 2014, in September of 2014.
Okay, maybe it is time for a...
It's getting to the point that the battery only lasts like, I don't know, like 2 weeks now instead of like a month.
Yes, my battery is also not great. I hate that you can't turn the Kindle off.
I don't mind that. It doesn't impact me. If you turn off Wi-Fi, the Kindle lasts for a really long time.
It does. You're right. Also, it tends to... make your library books not necessarily force themselves to be returned.
Weird. What a weird coincidence.
You leave it in airplane mode all the time. You kind of have as long as you want to read your library books. It turns out. Anyway. All right.
What do we got? We're bad at lightning round. It turns out.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I tend to go on. All right. Are we going for the trifecta? The unprecedented third question from the same person?
I mean, look, I feel like we're through all the rules are off here.
Okay. Cake batter.
Again?
The MVP of this Q&A episode.
Okay.
Since the pandemic began, have the levels of human feces on the streets of San Francisco or BART stations gone down at all?
I haven't been in a BART station in 2 years and change.
Yeah, I haven't either. But I think on the sidewalk, the answer is yes.
I feel like the escalators are broken. I get the tweets about the escalators being broken just as much, though, which is a feces sign. Oh, it's like it's like poop sign.
Sure. To be fair, I really don't go to the part of town where this is a serious problem much anymore now that I don't work there.
Yeah. Like every once in a while, I'll get a wild hair on like a Tuesday afternoon and be like, I'm going to go drive down San Francisco and see how busy it is. And there's nobody there. So it's like,
it's depressing.
It is rough. It's like. Well, driving through downtown and seeing everything boarded up still is pretty much a bummer.
Yeah, it makes you feel for all those businesses. Okay. All right, two more.
Okay.
Simply Bagel. After making a change on your computer, do you click apply and then okay or just okay?
Wait, what?
I'm currently working on IT certs, and in all of the example videos, they show them just clicking okay every time they change something. I was taught that you always hit apply first.
Okay is apply plus close.
That's exactly it. I'm sorry, Simply Bagel. You were taught wrong.
Yeah.
This is
We don't this often say this, but that person who taught you that was wrong.
This is one of my more irrational pet peeves. Clicking apply before clicking OK is completely redundant.
I think it's a bad UX to have an apply and on a screen that you're not going to want to keep open.
You're not wrong. Like it does not in any way imply what it actually is. But yes, apply is for applying changes and keeping the window open.
You know what
hitting OK, apply is implicit in hitting OK, which as it closes the window.
I hate a settings pane that auto saves as you change individual settings without clearly stating that save has happened.
Oh yeah. Yes.
Or like, I feel like if you need to press save on a settings pane that has multiple pages, like you have to scroll, like Discord is real bad about this. Mm-hmm. The save button should always be visible. It should be sticky. It should float. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. But I don't miss the apply. The apply button has almost disappeared.
Has it?
Also? Yeah. Well, I mean, in Windows 11 with settings being the extreme dominant end of the settings page and the control panel stuff being almost all the way gone, you hardly ever see apply anymore.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The even in Windows 10, that settings dial, like there are no okay buttons, right? It's not just, apply that went away. Like that whole paradigm of having to confirm your changes is gone.
Yeah. It's just, we're just freewheeling it. Hit the button and go, man.
I don't like it. I don't like when things change.
Change is scary.
Authentic sporks. Do you think the open and close buttons and elevators actually work, or are they just there to make people feel better?
I feel like we could do a whole episode on this.
God.
I want to get an elevator expert. Okay, so I Googled this just to see what the situation was on the elevators. The thing that I learned is that they're there for when you have the elevator service key in and you can bypass floors and close the door immediately and stuff like that.
Interesting.
And then the follow-up thing that I learned to this is that you can buy an elevator key for pretty much any elevator in that would be common in most places for $20.
Oh, they're not universal, are they?
Hmm?
They're not universal, are they?
They're brand specific.
What? That seems like a terrible idea.
Well, they have to be because the fire department has to have them.
Yeah, of course. Emergency situation.
Yes. Yeah. But depending on what states you're in, it may be illegal, is my understanding.
Okay.
So, if you put the key in, you can skip all the other floors and press the close button as soon as you get in. Man. Don't get arrested. We didn't tell you to do this.
So they literally are doing nothing in a normal situation.
Yeah. Okay. Then, now, the other thing is that I lived in a building in San Francisco for a little bit that had an Otis elevator that if you held down the door close button and pressed your floor, it would close the door immediately and just go straight to your floor.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
It was only like a 3-floor building, so it wasn't really that much of a savings. But yeah, that was a thing you could do.
Is Otis just an elevator company brand?
Yeah, Otis is a brand.
Otis is an amazing name.
Every time we got into that elevator and maybe had a couple of drinks, somebody would yell, "Otis loves us."
Otis, the elevator is your friend.
Otis was it's like an Animal House line too, but okay. Yeah.
Well, still also, I like the idea of an elevator named Otis.
Yeah. We talked to Otis. We were like, "Otis, take me home. I want to go home."
Yeah.
I think that's aside from dorms, that's the only time I've ever had an elevator that was like part of my daily routine, I think.
Not in an office?
Well, I mean, offices don't count.
Yeah.
Okay. But I mean, but also, no, none of our offices. I mean, I guess there was a future office that had an elevator that was like you used it to get into the building. Yes. I use the stairs most often because it was like free exercise.
That's a good policy.
Yeah.
It's a good way to be.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for questions.
You think that's it?
Yeah.
We've turned the Q's into the A's again successfully, Brad, or semi-successfully.
We did what we could.
Let us know how we did. Survey.content.town is the URL. The questions are from 2 months after we started the podcast. So God only knows what I think we were. Yep. Yeah, look, it's an intro. Maybe I should change the survey. I don't know. Anyway. Thanks everybody for listening. This is the time of month when we thank all the patrons.
Yes.
Well, I mean, we thank all the patrons every week. So thank you, patrons.
Thank you, patrons.
But we also thank both our executive and our associate producer tier patrons this month. So if you would like to find out more about how to support the Tech Pod, which is 100% listener supported, you can by going to patreon.com/techpod. As always, thank you to everybody for real. It's lovely that you all support us and let us do this weird, wonderful show.
Absolutely.
And for as little as $2 a month, you can join the fabulous TechPod Patreon and join the Discord, where you can talk to beautiful people who ask questions, and you can meet the cake batter there.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I mean, genuinely a Discord all-star, like, no joke.
Yeah.
Like, actually one of the quirkiest personas, I guess I would say. He runs a weather station in a trash can.
Why? Who doesn't?
He's big on using metal trash cans to host, like, he gathers a lot of weather data with mobile, with Raspberry Pis and other, like, SBC type devices and
stuff.
Likes to host those in trash cans.
That's fantastic. I didn't know that.
It's fantastic. It's wonderful. It's great.
Is that in the Linux channel? Is that, did you learn about the making things channel?
Mostly in the network channel.
Okay. My sorting is different this month, so everybody's going to be in weird orders. But thank you to Octothorpe, our executive producer here, patrons, including Octothorpe Bunny Crimes, Andrew Slosky, Paddle Creek Games, makers of Fractured Veil, David Allen, Jacob Chappell, James Kamick, Joel Krauska, Measure of a Twinkie, and Measure of a Twinkie. They were last. Also, since the end of the month, thank you to our associate producer tier patrons, including Andre M. Burke, Arthur Geese, Dave Yulian, David Fan, Graham Banks, Jad Rita, Jason Nealand, Jay Maybe, Jorge Pereira, Josh Klein, Julian, Mike Bell, Nathan Phelps, Ryson, Sanchit Kumar, Steve Lin, Terry Cox, Thomas Shea, and Wedge. Thank you all so much.
Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you.
That'll do it for us this week. I'm going to go take a nap, I think.
Yeah. Wait, I thought you had a stream.
I'm probably going to stream.
Are you going to take a nap while you stream?
Might be a little. Look,
some people are into that. Okay.
There's a lot of stuff happening in Elden Ring right now, and I got to figure it all out. And I accidentally killed Patches yesterday. I'm a little bummed about that.
Oh, man. Did he drop anything good?
He gave me a ball bearing that let me have access to his shop from someplace else. So I didn't really lose anything. It was kind of a net zero transaction. But I didn't think about doing a light murder on him with a weapon. I used my blood claws, which he didn't survive. So,
like, he probably had it coming.
I don't think he attacked me first, or at least he made moves like he was going to look. It's complicated, okay?
Yes, I get it.
But we'll see everybody next week. Thanks for listening. Bye.